The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and we are breaking down every DFS angle for this week's Memorial. Joining me as he does every single week, it's Greg Ducharme. Greg, take two of Muirfield Village.
It's so exciting. I love this golf course. It's one of the coolest places on the PGA Tour, and we're going to get to see it for the second week in a row. Last week, it definitely stood out, definitely performed. Take two, sign me up.
It's actually, this is going to be a lot of fun because I feel like by Sunday every week, I'm like, oh, okay. Like I know what hole numbers, like I can remember, oh, 14 is that drivable par four. And like, I know there's a par five coming up. And then all of a sudden it's Sunday evening and I don't remember it for a whole year. Now I get to remember everything and we get to see all these guys back at it.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And if, you know, maybe your favorite player wasn't playing last week. Maybe you missed a guy. Maybe you wanted to see some different storylines. I don't know. There are a couple players that stand out to me, but they're all here this week. So it's going to be really fun to see.
Everybody is here. We'll jump into that. But reminder, we are on YouTube. So you could be watching us at First Cut Pod. Subscribe on YouTube. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at First Cut Pod. And the field is getting better. The purses are getting larger. The stakes are being increased, and they're being increased on the golf props game as well. So in honor of Tiger Woods being back this week, we have a special props game with $3,000 in prizes for the entire tournament that will lock on Thursday morning. That is a key change this week, Greg. It is for the entire tournament. 7 a.m. Eastern time is when these props are going to lock. Free to enter. Literally a free chance to win money. Visit cbssports.com/golfprops to enter. Pretty cool stuff, Greg.
Yeah, I'm getting involved. That's for sure. Not sure I'm allowed to, but I'm definitely going to try my best. So the props are always fun, and you do a great job. The lines that you make on these, Rick, they're Oh, every single one seems to have me puzzled, and I don't know which way to go. A couple of buddies of mine were making fun of last week. It must have been last week. Victor Hovland shot 69 in the first round. Your line was 68.5. Of course, I took the under, and so they were breaking my chops about that. So it was good fun, and they're all like that. They're all right on the edge. You're not quite sure where to go. So props to you. Great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was a little bit different doing them for the whole tournament now instead of round by round. So that was a fun little challenge. Let's jump into this. So it is an invitational. So there's going to be less players in the field this week. I have it at 134, might be 133 or 134, which is bigger than your normal invitational, Greg, but not as large as obviously what we saw last week.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a 144. So coming in at that number is, it's nice to see. It's always a kind of a close-knit group here. The invitational feel is always nice, and it always creates a great field. So I don't really feel like there's anybody we're missing. So I don't think it's going to feel much different throughout the week.
Still top 65 in ties making the cut, which means you are more likely to get 6 of 6 through the cut line, which is nice because the first couple of weeks, Greg, it's been like 5% or less across the industry for how many 6 of 6 lineups there are. So you get a little bit of an added advantage of that. But let's talk about the course. Let's talk about Muirfield Village for a second. We saw it. We saw it in all its glory last week. What do we expect to be different this time around?
Well, one, before I get to the course, I want to just bring, you mentioned it, you're more likely to get 6 for 6 making the cut. It also becomes more important that 6 for 6 make the cut because you're more likely. So I think that's really important to note. It almost adds a little bit of pressure. Like last week, if you missed a cut, you had a great chance with one missed cut to still have a great lineup. This week, not so much. Making cuts are going to be a little more important. But onto the course, I believe the course, depending on what happens with the weather, is going to play a little bit more challenging. The greens in their speeds, likely in their firmness, should pick up. The rough should continue to grow, and I think they want it to get a little bit longer. So that'll be very interesting to see. It's going to get closer to a major championship. And as Mark has pointed out a number of times, they are redoing the golf course after this week. So the golf course is going to be closed. They don't have any member play to worry about. So they don't really have to protect it beyond Sunday, which means the field staff has kind of a free run at this, and they can kind of do whatever they want. So I'm very interested to see what they do. I expect faster greens. I expect maybe more difficult hole locations, again, depending on weather. But I would say we're probably going to get faster greens, more difficult hole locations, and thicker rough. So it should be a more challenging test.
And still carrying over from last week, I think it is even more clear now after four rounds of play. This is a second shot course, Greg. I mean, if you can hit your irons well, if you can find the fairway and then hit your irons well, you're going to be in a lot of really good positions, because if you're out of position, there are big numbers lurking.
Well, that's why you kind of get the feel of a major championship, like where one side of the field, it gets away from them quick. You see big numbers, you see really good players shooting scores like 80, right? 76, 75, because if you get on the wrong side, it can be a really, really tiresome round. Whereas if you're putting the ball in position and you're getting the ball into some makeable putts, the course is in such good shape. You can take advantage of a lot of these hole locations. So it depends a lot on your positioning, and the iron play is paramount, because the line between getting a ball into a really a tucked hole location and making a birdie and hitting it a couple yards over the green and making double is very, very slim. And if you're standing there on the ground next to the players, you may not notice a difference, yet it may be a 3-shot difference in the score at the end of the hole. So very interesting to see. That will be accentuated this week. And we saw it again this past week, right? You have Victor Hovland, who's led the field in strokes gained tee to green the past, 3 weeks in a row?
3 weeks in a row,
first,
yeah,
in the field. It's unprecedented. You have Colin Morikawa, who we consider to be one of the best iron players on the PGA Tour. Many, including myself, top three. Justin Thomas is another guy who's typically a top three iron player. So the leaders were great iron players. Even guys like Kevin Streelman, Gary Woodland, you see great Patrick Cantlay, who made a move on Sunday, won last year, another great iron player. So definitely a second shot golf course, a ball striker's golf course all the way, as I like to say. So I look for the same this week.
Okay. I'm glad you brought up it's so interesting to be able to go back and look at last week and then say, okay, now we can use that for this week. So I went back and pulled. So just looking at strokes gained approach, just the leaders in strokes gained approach and how they fared last week of the guys who played. So Leishman is technically number one on tour. He missed the cut, but then you have Colin Morikawa, obviously won it. Patrick Cantlay had a great week. Justin Thomas had a great week. Gary Woodland had a great week. Hideki Matsuyama is next. He did just fine. I think he faded a little bit on the weekend,
yeah.
But like all of those guys lead the tour in strokes gained approach, and they all had great weeks at Muirfield Village last week. This is a real thing.
In a strange way, last week it was almost easier to handicap, right? I mean, I don't know, but I felt like many of the guys that I had near the top finished near the top. I had some struggles in some of my lineups with a couple of surprises, a couple of miscuts. I'm sure you did too. Sure. But it was almost easy to handicap. The wrinkle this week, the interesting thing this week, what is the effect of playing a golf course for the second week in a row? What's the effect of Justin Thomas going back and reliving those last three holes on Thursday? What the first five holes on Thursday again? Now he's going to relive those this week. So even though he shot 19 under, the course, no question, suits him. Is there any scar tissue there? Even Colin Morikawa, are there a couple of holes that he wishes he played differently and kind of got through maybe it was a good break, maybe it was something along those lines, or is he thinking all positive? If things don't go the way Morikawa wants and he's just a little bit off here and there, is it frustrating for him because it doesn't replicate what happened last week? Why is this not going my way again? So those are the kind of wrinkles that are a little bit more difficult to predict. And that's the reason why you can't just copy and paste the leaderboard from this week over to next week.
Could you imagine if we just came on and we're like, just Jacob, rerun last week's preview video.
Fired up and we'll talk about Tiger a little bit.
We'll take the hour off. Okay, so we're going to jump into the pricing, but first we have an offer. If you have any questions, lineup concerns, betting, DFS, whatever it is, go leave your question in a review on Apple Podcasts. This is a win-win situation. We get the review that helps us in a big way, and we will go through them and do our best to answer them. So that is our offer. I think it's good. I think you should go do it. Let's jump into
what we're here for.
That's what we're here for. A little user interaction. $10,000. And before we even do this, 9 of the top 10 players in the world are here. Adam Scott, the only one who's not, and it's not because he doesn't want to be here.
He was the runner up last year.
Yeah. And he told us he's taking time. He's going to reevaluate his personal situation in a couple months and maybe we'll see him soon, but that's the only reason he's not here. The rest of the world is here. An unbelievable star studded field. The 10K range is headlined by Bryson DeChambeau at $11,100, followed by last week's runner up, Justin Thomas at 10.9, Rory McIlroy, the number one player in the world, back in the field, 10,007. Dustin Johnson coming off a win, 10,003. Colin Morikawa, and even 10,000. Greg, there are every single golfer in the $10,000 range besides Rory McIlroy either won or finished second in their last start.
You know, I was looking at that too, saying, kind of going through them in my mind. Well, Bryson, he won last time we saw him. Justin Thomas, okay, he just gave it second. Rory is the one, right? DJ, yeah, just won, and Colin Morikawa, okay, he just won. So it, they, and then even when we get down into the 9K range, it's a similar situation. So it's fascinating to watch. If you're a guy who goes on recent form, if that's kind of your biggest bucket of success, you have no idea what to do. You're throwing darts at this point. Your only fade is Rory McIlroy. And on the point of Rory McIlroy, he's actually my play this week. I'm looking at this saying in this group, well, Bryson's really hard for me to stay away from. I'm fascinated to see how this golf course accepts Bryson's game. And I'm excited to see how Bryson's golf, how his strategy works in a major championship style golf. I think it's going to be an advantage. So I think Bryson is a great play. I just question the popularity a little bit, but on to Rory. I think Rory's kind of the sleeping tiger in this case. And I think much like what Dustin Johnson did at the Travelers, I think you could see that same thing from Rory McIlroy. Extremely long off the tee. He is a wonderful iron player. It's probably not the strength of his game, but it's just overshadowed by the driving, in my opinion. So I think Rory's going to put himself in a lot of good spots. I think Rory's going to be right there till the end. First couple of weeks were golf courses that quite frankly just didn't really fit his game. And he still shot some pretty good rounds, typically would just have a bad 9 holes. This is a week Rory McIlroy must have circled on his calendar. He's rested. He's ready to go. I think this is a great time to play Rory. And you get a great discount. When's the last time you've seen Rory McIlroy under $11,000? I can't think of the time.
I just had it. It was – so there's two times. It was the Tour Championship, which doesn't count because that was a staggered start.
He, so he started five back.
Shots back. And then the other time was literally almost – it was over a year ago. It was 2019, yeah, U.S. Open. And that almost doesn't count because majors are always much softer pricing.
Yeah.
So like you literally, like you'd have to go back almost a year and a half. It was last, the 2019 Genesis, where he was $10,700. So,
yeah. So I mean, I'm going to buy low here, right? I'm buying low on Rory. I don't think there's anything seriously wrong with him. The putting is something I know he's continuously working on, and it's the weakness of his game. But as we saw with Colin Morikawa getting the win this week, Justin Thomas coming in second this week, Victor Hovland coming in third this week, all three of those players, are the weak link in their game is their putting. and they were all able to perform really well at Muirfield. So it's a less of a concern for me this week than it is in some other weeks. And I think the discount on Rory is one for me I can't pass up.
I do also think it's a big deal. As much as I love Bryson, this week concerns me a little bit because of if the rough gets a little bit thicker, I think it takes away a significant, not a significant portion, but it takes away part of the advantage that he has. And it's going to be a lot harder at Muirfield Village to just kind of gouge it out to the middle of the green. Like yeah. If you're just a little bit off, you're a lot off.
A lot of these greens, right, that you've seen it time and time again, there are these tongues. And even if Bryson contends and you get to Sunday and the hole locations get harder and the challenge at Muirfield, which was a great strength of Jack Nicklaus, and it's why great iron players succeed here, the challenge is you're challenged in your distance control. And direction, quite frankly. Usually there's one side where it's a little wider. There's a fat part of the green and a narrower part of the green. And when you're in the rough, it's much harder to control that distance, not only through the air, but also once the ball gets onto the ground. So that's why finding fairways are valuable. At the same time, distance is always an advantage. If he has to club down, he's done that successfully at the previous four events that we've seen on the PGA Tour. For the most part, he's clubbed down at least for a portion of those rounds. And in the rough, he still has that club head speed. So he's going to have an advantage over anybody else in the rough, which is a twofold advantage. He'll be closer to the hole and he'll have a shorter club into the green. So there are advantages still, even though it does raise question marks. But Rick, the question that I have for you, looking at a Bryson, looking at any of these players in the $10,000 range, when you're looking at this high price range, where do they have to finish for them to kind of pay for themselves? Like, is Bryson in a must-win position if you play him this week?
So the answer is probably, but realistically, you need to pick the best 10K guy. So if you pick Rory and he finishes T3, it kind of stinks, but as long as like Dustin Johnson doesn't win, you get away with it. So gotcha. Yeah, you probably need at least the top five, but you realistically, you need the best. You need to pick the guy. You need to pick the guy that finishes highest.
Do you look at it that way for all your price ranges? Like, and then I want to pick the best 9K guy, the best.
Kind of, because the further down you go, you know, you get an opportunity where like two of these guys could finish in the top 10. Like, two guys can't win the golf tournament, right? But two guys can finish in the top 10. And also, the lower you get, the more likely it is that they can pay themselves off with birdies and eagles potentially, as opposed to just going off the finishing position. But the finishing position points are so heavily weighted that you kind of have to get them from your top tier guy. You don't necessarily have to get them from like your $8,500 guy. If that makes sense.
Just what I'm looking for.
All right. So I would rank these guys, Greg. So like for me personally this week, I probably I think Rory's probably number one because you get all the massive upside that Rory is with a slight discount. I think JT is probably two for me. We saw what he did last week. He's the real deal. I probably take DJ third with Dustin. You get the discount. Excuse me. Obviously, he's got all the upside in the world. Then I probably go to Bryson four just because he's so expensive and I have a concern about how he kind of. I don't know how much you can overpower Muirfield Village, to be quite honest. We're gonna find out. We're gonna find out. It's gonna be great. And then I think Morikawa becomes fifth, and that is no 100% no knock on his game. It is a fact that he is now $10,000, and to your point, probably needs to win. And is he going to go back to back at Muirfield Village? That's a pretty tough ask.
It is a tough ask. And just the minor tweaks to the golf course. Like, it's the number one story. I shouldn't say the number one story. It's a top five story.
We're
going
to get to the number one story here.
Yeah, that's right. It's a top five story for me. How's the golf course different? And how do the guys that succeeded last week handle the slight adjustments or the memories from just what happened just a week ago? So if I'm going to rank these players, I'm going to go Rory number one. I value the freshness here. I take Bryson at number two, but it's close. I'm not ready to say Bryson's going to have an off week because the course doesn't suit him, because all he's done so far is prove that that it works for him wherever he goes. So I have to give him the credit of number two. So Rory, Bryson DeChambeau. I'm going to go Dustin Johnson next. And again, Colin Morikawa and Justin Thomas, I have question marks about, and it's not their fault. maybe JT, it's not Colin Morikawa's fault because he won. I just, I play that against him because, as you said, it's unlikely that he wins back-to-back weeks. So I'm going to go Colin Morikawa 4, Justin Thomas in the 5th. That scar tissue, although I don't think it's going to last very long, I think this week immediately there will be a little bit of hurt from him. And I think that loss stings a little bit. And to see him come back and win the very next week would be extremely impressive. And I'm happy to fade him and be surprised and congratulate him and not make any money on it. But I don't think it's going to happen.
I will now move on to the biggest story, which is the $9,000 range, which finally we get a much larger $9,000 range.
Yeah.
And the bottom of this $9,000 range is Tiger Woods, who will be playing his first official event since the Genesis Invitational, which did not go so well. But we saw a swing in May, looked a lot better. So I'll read through this $9,000 range. It's Patrick Cantlay, another top 10 last week, 9,800. Webb Simpson back in the field at 96. Victor Hovland, my favorite player in the whole world, 9,500. Hideki Matsuyama's 94. John Rahm, 93. Xander, 92. Brooks at 91. Tiger Woods at 9,000. What the heck do we do here?
Man, there's a lot to like in this range.
Yeah.
I'll start right at the top. Patrick Cantlay. He was my pick last week. And I think early in the early rounds, there was maybe just a shade of, I'll call it rust. Maybe it's just competitive rust because his game certainly looked to be in good form. He just didn't keep pace with these guys. But on Sunday, we saw what Patrick Cantlay can do. And the thing I love about this guy, he won last year at the Memorial. But since he played last week, and also since there's no spectators, it's not going to feel like a typical title defense, in my opinion. I think he's going to be dealing with less of that typical pressure. The storylines this week are the guy you mentioned, Tiger Woods in the $9,000 range,
yeah.
Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka. And Brooks, all the things that Brooks Koepka has said kind of leading into the event, the fact that he wasn't going to play and now he is. There's kind of a smokescreen guarding Patrick Cantlay.
Let me ask you about Cantlay real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so he did this thing that Matt Kuchar was famous for years, which is finish top 10, but you never, ever sniffed contention. You were never in this tournament. I don't know if I care about that, right? Like, does it matter if my guy is in contention all week and drops to T7 and he kind of felt that rush, or like he just got a little bit better every day, had a nice Sunday and finished T7. You know what I mean? It feels different.
So Patrick Cantlay, since the Players, one, he had a deviated septum repair. I'm no doctor. I have no idea what the effects of that are. But just to remember, so there's a period of time in the layoff where he's recovering from something. However severe it is, we don't know. He comes out of the layoff. Maybe there's a back issue. He doesn't play the first 3 weeks. It was kind of interesting to me. I was looking for him. Where's this guy going to pop up? And he popped up at Travelers. And now I'm wondering, well, is it a good thing that he didn't play? Is there a reason why he didn't play? Maybe a back issue? Is he injured? And he comes in tied 11th and then takes another week off. Here we go again. And I'll call it a backdoor top 10. It doesn't bother me at all. It just tells me that maybe there's a little competitive rust that was kind of gently taken off the plate. He's on a golf course he likes. Strength of his game is what's required at this golf course. And a backdoor top 10 doesn't bother me. The other thing is about this backdoor top 10 in particular, there were really only three guys who had contention, who had a real chance at winning this golf tournament.
That's
true. So when you have a runaway like that, I give you a little bit more of a little wider berth, for lack of a better term. So I don't really worry about that at all. Okay. I really like Cantlay again this week. I think he's going to roll it over and play really well.
You know who goes completely overlooked here is, in my opinion, is Webb Simpson.
Yeah.
Who's 9,600. You can invest in the great Victor Hovland for cheaper, or you go up and you get Patrick Cantlay at 98, which everybody seems to love and they should. And you look at Webb, and again, we know he's not sexy. We know like that people don't always play a bunch of Webb, unless it's like a Webb course, right? And I don't think people are yelling that Muirfield Village is a Webb course because it's a little bit longer, but still a second shot course, still a guy that can get work his way around a lot of different places. 8th at Rocket Mortgage. He won 2 starts ago. Like, should we just play Webb?
I love the Webb play here.
Yeah.
And again, now there's so much to eat surrounding him here. So how much Webb are you really going to take? He's definitely going to get into some of my lineups. Because as you said, it doesn't feel like a Webb Simpson course because it feels like a big ballpark, right? But Webb Simpson is a guy who is an extraordinary iron player. It's really, it's the strength of his game. And I'm just getting his number on the season right now. Yeah, there we go. Fifth in strokes gained approach to green. And if you look at what happened this week, this past week, he's going to do pretty well here. And he handles his quote unquote lack of distance very well. Yes. And I will say this, Colin Morikawa, as solid as he is tee to green, is no bomber. He averages under 300 yards off the tee for the year. And it's actually quite similar to Webb Simpson's driving distance for the year. Webb's at 298.4. Colin Morikawa is under 300. I was looking this morning. I want to say he's in the 298 range too. So I don't think he's at an extreme distance disadvantage. I think Webb's going to do just fine. I think he's a great play, and I think he's going to be underplayed for sure. So I'm big on Webb.
I would like to make the case, if I could, for Jon Rahm, who is now, if you want to talk about the last time you saw Jon Rahm at a price like this, 9,300, it was also that U.S. Open 2019. So again, that's soft pricing. Like, it's been a year plus since Jon Rahm has been $9,300, and it has not been a good restart for him. I get that.
Yeah.
Now, that Sunday round he had at Workday, 64, which is 8 under par with 2 bogeys on the card. And when I look at that, I always go, okay, he probably rolled in a million feet of putts. Like, that's what I always assume, right? It's the first thing I always look at. I pulled up his numbers for it, gained 4.5 strokes on approach, gained a stroke off the tee, only gained a half a stroke putting. He did not really roll a bunch of putts in. So I guess my argument is, if that's the Jon Rahm we get, watch out.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. I don't know if it's going to work out, but like, your last round, you do something nuclear like that and you go back to the same place and you are Jon Rahm, who's what, still the number two ranked player in the world. If I look it up, like, what 9,300.
It's worth the risk, right? You're going to buy early. He just played because, see, here's the thing. Recent performance, not great. Course history, well, you know, in the Memorial, he's only missed a cut. So again, not great. But one trip around a golf course like this, it's not necessarily the end of the world when it's just a missed cut. It doesn't mean you're going to miss the cut again. It doesn't mean you can't win there. It doesn't mean you don't like the course. But seeing that round is definitely a positive. It's definitely an uptick. And looking at the golf swing, looking at his technique, understanding the talent that this guy has, when you have a chance to take a great risk like this for a Jon Rahm and he just shot 64, it looks good. But then again, this is unprecedented where you're going to have basically a fifth round. Like, what happens in, I've always wondered this about PGA Tour events when these guys make Sunday charges, what would happen if it continued? Is this just grit? Like, I'm going to get paid. I'm going to put my head down. And is this the last four games of a football season when you've missed the playoffs? There's no pressure. You try some new wrinkle in your offense and you go 4-0 and everybody thinks next year you're going to win the Super Bowl. And the same thing happens at the beginning. There's no pressure now.
So Jon Rahm went out at 8:39 AM on Sunday. That is not a, like, come on. Like, I know everybody went out early, but that's like, it was a no pressure tee time.
Right. He had no chance of winning. Like you said about Cantlay, who, you're right. I mean, these guys didn't have any chance of winning. It's still a great sign that he goes out and plays well. So I'm with you. I'm going to say Rahm's a play here because it's a great risk. So I think I got four plays in this group, and it's such a tasty group. It's hard to, like, I'm going to say Victor Hovland is a fade for me. And how am I going to, I just feel like this has to end. And I mean, maybe he'll prove me wrong, but he's going to play 6 weeks in a row. You don't see that very often on tour. And especially when you're driving the tour, does get a break, doesn't have to drive anywhere. But where are you on Hovland? He's so good, but is it really going to be 5 weeks in a row where he's a solid play?
So unfortunately, I bend the knee to the stats, right? Like, and what he is doing, tee to green, which is my favorite stat in the world, is unheard of. So I went and looked it up. So his 5 week stretch, I'm trying to pull up the number here, but his 5 week stretch, he's gained something like 46 combined 46.9 combined strokes tee to green. when you go back and look at five event stretches, the only other guys who have done that, Rory did it twice, Hideki's done it, DJ's done it, and Luke List has done it. Don't worry about that one. But we're talking about elite stretches of golf. This doesn't happen. And also, none of those guys ever did it 5 weeks in a row. Ever. It was always, some of them were over months. One of Rory's was over two different seasons. He is doing something really crazy right now. And I get it, 6 weeks in a row. I get that's really hard, but no travel this week. He probably actually feels like he got a break because he didn't have to hop in the car and drive another 3,000 miles. He got to chill out afterwards. Like I'm probably blinded by this, but I'm just so high on what Hovland's doing right now.
Are you worried at all about how the, basically I'll call it the second half of the day went on Sunday? I know it kind of started on number six, right? It kind of, there's the fadeaway factor. Does that linger? Was that a sign of fatigue? Can you recover from that fatigue? If you do, I believe that was fatigue. I think that happened. I think he was fatigued. I'm in contention again. It started to feel like it's out of reach and he just kind of let go. I'm not saying he quit. I'm just saying you kind of like, you lose a little bit of hope and there's just an exhale.
And I will give him credit. So yes, it all turned at six. He hit that ball in the water and he was never the same since, although he was still kind of in it. I think he was two off the lead when he got to 14, and I credit him for pulling driver and going for it. Yeah. And he missed that from that staying up on the ridge. I mean, he was like a yard off on that from like 319 yards. If that stays up and he gets up and down for birdie, it might be a completely different story. He goes in the water and it's all so, like, I credit him for taking a whack at it. So yeah, I'm concerned, but like, I can obviously justify a lot of this stuff.
Also, I mean, if he laid up there,
right.
I mean, the guy hit it to what? He hit it to like 13 inches the day before or something, or 3 feet. That he's so good. But I'm thinking there has to, this play has to slow down at some point. And also, here's the other thing about me fading Hovland this week. It's just, there's so much, like, you can't play the whole 9K range.
We have not even talked about the cat yet.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the cat.
Right.
What are we doing with Tiger Woods? He has a flat $9,000. He has won this tournament five times. I think William Hill had him at 28-1 last time I checked to win this golf tournament. Okay. This is the weirdest part. I always like your NFL analogy, so I'll give you an NFL analogy right now. There was a time when I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and Sam Bradford was like our backup quarterback or whatever. He's our quarterback. And the thing with Sam Bradford was always, he's making so much money by not putting any more plays on film. Like, if he starts putting plays on film, he's not going to get this money, but people just like haven't seen him, so they assume he's good. Kind of what we're dealing with Tiger Woods here. Like, the last time we saw him play a real PGA Tour event, he was horrible. We saw him play in shorts at his home course and he looked a lot better. I am optimistic that I actually think he's going to have a good week, but like, we're out of control on how good we think he's going to be, I think.
Well, I mean, he's $9,000. So I kind of have the problem with Tiger in a DraftKings situation is typically, one, he's either priced way higher than he probably should be for a given week, or he's going to be way too popular. And so the only thing about Tiger is I'm looking to say everybody's going to have Tiger in their lineup, but I kind of fall in the same thing. If I'm just handicapping him as a player, you mentioned the Genesis Invitational. Well, that's a tournament he's never had success in, and he was hurt. I mean, it was very clear afterwards that he was hurt on a golf course that he doesn't like. You go before that, he's the best player on the property at the President's Cup. No question about it. He wins the Zozo after a long layoff. I mean, I'm looking at this guy saying, okay, if he's healthy, he's going to contend. And then you add to it, he's won five times at Muirfield Village. And then you add what we talked about earlier. Who does well here? Well, great iron players. And we always have this rule. We're talking about Justin Thomas, talking about Colin Morikawa, talking about Victor Hovland. They may be the best iron players in the game, except for Tiger Woods. And Tiger Woods is here playing. He's cheaper than all those guys. It's like, it's a risk. It's a risk because we haven't seen him. But if we had seen him, he wouldn't be in this price range. He's a must play for me.
I actually think I like him as well. So I agree with you. The fact that this is a second shot course and course knowledge is so necessary. I love Tiger here. Also, I believe he's probably the only guy in the world where rest directly correlates to like success, right? Like he can show up out of nowhere and be great. Like he doesn't need to kind of work into it.
Yeah. Well, on that real quick, on that point, there was a time before the Zozo where I believe that Tiger needed a couple. He would play in these stretches where he'd play 3 weeks in a row. And the first one would be not great. And then the next two he'd contend in and nearly win. This was like in the early comeback in 2018.
I remember
but
that.
Yeah. Now that I think he's healthy, the Zozo changed everything for me because he came back, looked like he was in midseason form and dominated at Medalist. And I get that it's Medalist. I get there in carts and in shorts. I get all that. But he looked like he was in complete control of his game. And when he's walking around with that kind of confidence, the guy, he's the one guy that scares everybody off the property. Like Bryson is intimidating and scary because he hits it so far. But people still have this, like, he's not Tiger. Tiger's like, I'm doing something that nobody else can do. And nobody can stop me. And he knows when he walks onto a property like the Memorial that he's going to get the win. And it would be so fitting if he gets the 83rd win at Jack's Place. I mean, it's Kyle Porter's dream, right? I mean, it's a writer's dream. So I definitely think there's something to that storyline. And at the price,
I almost don't care
about the popularity.
I will sprint around the house if he wins 83 at Mirrorfield Village. Jacob put up a tweet on a poll on Twitter at First Cut Pod that said basically, where do you think Tiger's going to finish this week? And almost 30% of our Twitter followers believe he will finish in the top five or better. So I think he's going to be pretty popular, Greg.
Yeah, I think so too. But just in a general philosophy kind of a thing, where do you fall in that popularity? Like, are you staying away from him because he's going to be popular? Or do you think there's merit to that popularity and it's one of those things you can't really miss out on?
I refuse to let one player's ownership dictate my decision-making on him because I'm not picking one player from my lineup. I'm picking six, Greg. So right. If I want Tiger Woods and he's going to be 90% owned, then I better find five other guys that are going to be 3% owned or something like that. Or I will just pick anyone that I want and spend $49,500 and I will have a unique lineup. So like I don't like letting the ownership on one player dictate my decision on him. I like to look at it more of as a lineup as a whole.
I think it's a good strategy. Play Tiger.
We're going to jump into the $8,000 range, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there. And I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt. And I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the super feet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to. And Superfeet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet.
when your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry, sale pricing ends June 5th.
And we're back. 8,000 bones and I was going to say $8,000 or less, but it's actually like $8,900 and less. So this is led off by Justin Rose, who's now coming off two missed cuts. You have Ricky Fowler in here, who's got some optimism. You have Daniel Berger, who I'd like to argue is like the hottest player on the face of the earth. Gary Woodland's turned it around. I mean, this is another, this is major pricing, Greg. This is where you get legitimate, real options. We 7 days ago, Greg, you and I sat here and you told me Justin Rose, and he missed the cut, but you were right at the time, was like, it could be the first guy in your lineup and could anchor your lineup. And now he's 8,900. That's how good this field is.
Yeah. He's got me scratching my head now, because it's not just that he missed the cut. He shot 80.
Yeah. And I just mean like, Rose was just the example that popped to mind. It's just like, that's how much these prices have changed. Yeah. Where you're getting legitimate players in $8,000 range.
Yeah. It signifies the strength of the field. Matt Kuchar, who's kind of like a anchor of many lineups, is sitting at 8,000, right? Yeah. It Sung Jae-im is 8,200. Right?
He hasn't been that low in a while.
Yeah. So there's a lot of opportunity in this for sure, but it's a range I'm honestly not really comfortable with, because like Justin Rose to me, I'm back to scratching my head. I was so confident about him at the start of the, restart, and he came through, he was playing great. And like, what happened with Justin Rose? I don't know. There's gotta be something going on. So I have major question marks about him. Ricky Fowler, there's definitely positives about, but yep. There's still question marks, and like, he's probably going to be popular, and I don't know if he really has like the assets that a Tiger Woods does that say, I don't care about popularity. I stay away from Fowler. Berger's fascinating, but Woodland's the guy to me who's kind of the must play in this range, because he's coming off of a great week last week after shooting 73 in the first round. I mean, he was your bet to miss the cut, but we figured out why.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to say, we should talk about this, because I actually claim I'm right on this, because
I agree.
We said it's all about off the tee. He's been absolutely terrible. I don't know what happened. And he must have felt the same thing, because he got rid of the Wilson driver and he played a ping driver on Thursday and he was fine.
Boom. Just like that. A single change. Like we're asking right now, well, what's wrong with Justin Rose? Is there something wrong with it? We were asking the same thing about Gary Woodland. What's wrong with him off the tee? That was your question. That's why your best bet was for him to miss the cut. But sure, he solved the problem. And there's no way as a bettor you can predict that.
Yeah. How come Gary didn't text us and let us know he was putting a new driver in the bag? That's, you know what? Gary.
Yeah, it's kind of upsetting to me, but he does that and gets the results. It leads you to believe that, okay, Gary Woodland is back and he's not quite priced for it yet. So another great buy in the 8,600 at the 8,600 value. He's like top of my list in this range. And then some of the other guys that Berger interests me, as you said, he's really a hot player. And yeah, I believe he's a really good iron player too. And then Patrick Reed, just, there's like a grittiness about him, and we get into a major championship type course. And as important as iron play is, short game is really important too. And he hit the ball great last week, didn't he?
He did. Now I tend to agree with you on a lot of these guys. The Berger thing's so interesting. He's $8,700. You go back to pre shutdown. He finished fourth at Honda. Of course, he won the Colonial. Then he finished third at the RBC. He's got three straight top four finishes coming in, and
he had two top fives, right? The layoff.
Oh, yeah. He's oh man, I had his page up here. He's basically got like five straight top 15s or something like that. Five straight top 10s.
And he has the record. Does he still have the record going for under par or better rounds?
He has to.
Yeah,
he hasn't played in 3 weeks. He has to. Yeah, I think he has to.
So another one, like it makes you scratch your head. You're like, is this for real? We're asking the question about Daniel Berger. Is he for real? And we forget about the wrist injury in 2018. Like, this guy was the rookie of the year when he came on tour in a class that included Justin Thomas and many other players who are elite players today. So I look at Daniel Berger as a guy that is undervalued because he had a bad season because of an injury. And again, it's just like Gary Woodland. There's a clear reason for a lack of performance. And once that's fixed, like, it's better. And Daniel Berger to me is like a yes, sir. So he and Woodland are my two biggest plays. Answer is interesting to me too, because he's been hitting the ball great, but I'm just not sure he has enough distance for this kind of golf course.
That's interesting, because I actually liked Answer. And the only concern is the distance. He's very accurate. So he's going to be hitting a lot of fairways. He actually gained strokes. He's one of the few guys that ranks as low as he does on driving distance who gained strokes off the tee because he is so accurate. So that's of note. His irons are great. What I love about Answer is he competes. You talk about President's Cup. You talk about some of his results. I mean, top 15 at WGC Mexico, top 15 at Charles Schwab, which was a major like field, second at RBC Heritage, major like field, 11th at the he does not care who else is out there. He finds a way to inject himself into the leaderboard. I like that about him.
Yeah. Ever since the President's Cup this year, he has really become one of my favorite players, and a player that draws my attention every week, not just because his name begins with A and he's one of the first players on the field list. He really has genuine interest for me.
Right? Oh, the field list. I thought you sorted the salaries. Instead of looking at salaries, you sorted by alphabetical order.
No. At the beginning of the week, on Friday night,
comes out.
And Answer's always right up there by the top, and he piques my interest every week. I say, no, he's just, the guy's really good, and he's hitting it as good as anybody on tour. I'm not sure this is, and again, he can prove me wrong. I hope he does. If he performs really well this week, then my appreciation for Abraham Answer is going to go from like an 8 to a 10. This is kind of an opportunity to say, yeah, he's got what it takes. He can compete in majors. He checks all the boxes. This is the kind of event that can do that for me. I'm not sure this is the week. So I just have question marks about him. And I love Berger and Woodland. So that's kind of why he falls off the top of the list for me.
Jason Day had his third top 10 since the 2019 Masters last week. I thought he played much better. He gained in every single strokes gain category, which is something that he hasn't done since the 2019 US Open was the last time he did that. So I'm more optimistic, but this has kind of been the story. Every 6 to 8 starts, he finishes in the top 10 and he hasn't been able to put two together.
Yeah. And I mean, it is his home course. He's a member here, which, you know, in many cases, I mean, in theory, it should bode well for you. It should be a good thing, but it's a regular stop on the PGA Tour. And it's almost like it's a place that everybody's familiar with. It's not like the RBC Heritage. It's not like Colonial. It's not like the Travelers, where many of the big names are showing up without any experience here. You have guys who play here every single year. Nobody misses Jack's tournament without a real reason. It's an elevated tournament on tour. So that advantage kind of goes away. And the weakness in his game is his iron play. Maybe last week he figured something out, but I didn't see enough to say, yeah, okay, Jason Day is back to 2015, 2016, Jason Day. And I still worry about injury. I love the guy, but he's a hard play for me just about every week.
I don't disagree with you. $7,000 range. I've got two guys that stand out for two completely different reasons. Kevin Streelman is $7,600. Continues the beat goes on for Kevin Streelman. Now a second place finish at the Travelers, a seventh last week at the Workday, which just piles on to his results at Muirfield Village, which are unbelievable. The Memorial, so his history at the Memorial specifically, 4 top 20s in his last 5 years. So he's the guy that's like, all right, you're gonna run back out there at 7,600. Happy to do that. And then my fade in this range, Greg, is also $7,600. It's unfortunately a friend of the pod, Ian Poulter, who gained like 1 billion strokes putting last week. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it was like outrage. 8.8, his second highest total ever. Oh boy.
It's going to be hard to replicate. But again, you put this guy in a Ryder Cup and he's the best putter on the planet. So I mean, this is that case again, where it's like, well, yeah, Ian Poulter makes a living because he's a great putter and a fiery competitor. And it's almost like Patrick Reed back at the Century Tournament of Champions, back like early in the year, where he was continuously contending in events because of great putting. And it's just the will to win that sometimes can take you forward. But that flame can also, I mean, it only runs for so long. So I'm with you. It's a fade on Poulter for me this week. The change in green speeds that I'm expecting, I think can throw off a player when they've had similar lines the previous week. And again, it's unprecedented. We don't know what we're going to get, but that's kind of where my expectation sits. So I'm a fade with Poulter for sure. My play is Joaquin Niemann, a player who is building. He's probably not to Kevin Streelman's level yet, who I also am a play on Streelman, but he's building a pretty notable course record here at Muirfield Village. And I think a player at his age who's played the way that he's played through the restart, I mean, it's been really good for Joaquin Niemann, and I think it continues this week.
I don't mind that at all. I mean, Joaquin Niemann is the type of guy that you either like Joaquin Niemann or you don't. I do. I know you do. And it's one of these situations where he's going to be all over the place. He's going to be volatile. He's got top fives coming. He's got missed cuts coming. It's just, he's young and he's going to work through things.
See, it's an interesting thing, because I was not always a Joaquin Niemann fan. And I had some real question marks about him because of what you just said about volatility. But I'm starting to see a player who's more consistent on the PGA Tour since the restart. Tied 32nd at the Charles Schwab with basically a bad, two questionable rounds. First event back, give you a little bit of RBC heritage, tied fifth, 63rd at the Travelers, but he shoots three rounds in the 60s and then a 75 on Sunday, which is, look, it's bad, but it can happen, and it's not necessarily the end of the world. And at the workday, a couple of nice rounds capping the event. So I think that can continue. And I think if the trend kind of continues, I think he's going to put himself right there in the mix, clear up some of those rounds that are holding him back. It's like one bad round has kind of held him back throughout all of these events. And I think he's going to be able to put a couple together this week.
Let's go down to the 6K. Range. Ton of names here. My buddy Lonto Griffin is here. Mackenzie Hughes is here. Bernd Wiesberger is here. One of my favorite names to say, but I'm looking at someone like a Troy Merritt, who is 60. Where'd he go? 65, 68, 66. Where'd he go? I just had him.
Oh my God.
Troy. Okay, well. Here we go.
Come on, 66. There he is. 66.
God, I found him. Oh my gosh. Yep. $66,000. Back to back, really strong finishes. So first of all, when you're down in this range, like making a cut, like that's, let's start there. Four straight cuts made. Okay. Everyone since RBC Heritage, including an eighth at Rocket Mortgage and a 22nd last week. So then you take that 22nd. And you look at what else he's done at Muirfield Village and the Memorial last year, he finished 17th. So now you've got, from a $6,600 guy, the last two times he's played Muirfield Village, he's gone 17th and 22nd. That's almost enough down here.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's something to hang your hat on, right? It's something to, it's something to say, okay, I got a real chance here. So I got another guy who I find to be somewhat interesting this week, and he's coming off of two missed cuts, which again you don't really like, but it's Max Homa. And Max Homa last week, 72-71, misses the cut at one under par, which is unfortunate. He's at 6,800. Again, I don't know if you have to get down into this range. I don't think you really have to go too low here. So you have some options and you're definitely taking some risks. But in that week, last week where he missed the cut, he gained both days approaching the green, and he gained tee to green both days. I mean, he gained one on Thursday, gained two on Friday. And I'm looking at that saying, hey, we got a chance here. You're looking at the model. He lost both days putting. And with different green speeds, I think it's something that could bode well for him. So I'm looking for Max Homa to turn it around. I think he's a better player than missing three cuts in a row. So he's definitely on my list. And the guy that I have to ask you about, I feel like he just lives down here and he lives in my lineups. Our friend Lonto Griffin, what do you make of him?
He is a staple under $7,000.
Yeah.
Every time, I just looked this up earlier. The last something like 15 times he's been under $7,000, he's returned at least 10 times value in like nine of them. Or no.
Yeah.
Only three times he hasn't. So it'd be like 12 of 15. Listen, I like Lonto. I always think he's undervalued. He has been a top 20 machine this season. He has a win. Like, when you compare him to, he has much less question marks than some of these other guys do, right? I mean,
for the year, he's positive in all four strokes gained categories, which I love. Yeah. You'd like him to be like really high and approach the green this week, but I mean, 70, 75 last week. Is he, I don't know.
Not going to get like, they're like compared to what else is down here. Like, you know what I mean? Like you're not getting a star down here.
He's the best player down here. Maybe Max Homa has a little more win equity, maybe because, like, you know, before the layoff, he was so good. But I think Lonto is probably a better player.
Like Snedeker, $6,800, and Snedeker eats up a lot of like he gets ownership because people like him and they know his name.
He's not been good.
He's missed three of his last four cuts. He's been brutal off the tee. He's been brutal on approach. I like Snedeker. I hope he turns it around, but it hasn't been good for him. So like,
yeah, I'm staying away from him all
day.
Yeah,
you're kind of down in the dumps here a little bit. So you just got to find like one or two guys that you might be able to roll with, and then you know, pair him with some of the studs you like at the top and see how it goes.
What do you make of like a Charles Howell III? Do you think he's another one of those guys that eats up ownership because he's kind of comfortable, been around for a while?
I don't think as much anymore. He used to be like the first guy into every lineup because he was going to make every single cut. Now he is not that golfer anymore, but like he used to be the DFS guy because he made every single cut. You never had to worry about him. Unfortunately, he is not that anymore. But I do think someone like Graham McDowell's also 6,600. He's a familiar name. Zach Johnson is 67. He's a familiar name. Remember, we are now getting the first. I don't know how to say this, like where golf's the only sport and the first one where Tiger's playing. If you thought there were casuals before, Greg, there are going to be casuals this week, and they are going to take guys that they know, which tend to be Americans that have like contended or won majors before, AKA Zach Johnson.
So how much, I guess this brings up the real question that I have for an expert like you, no question, an expert like you. How much risk are you willing to take? Because at the beginning, we talked about how important it is to get six of six guys to make the cut in here. When you get down below the $7,000 barrier, like, what are you willing to risk? Last week, I felt like we kind of had a free wheel. Like, it was a stars and scrubs kind of a week. Take chances all over the place because the guys at the top of that strokes gain approach list are going to be the guys at the top of the leaderboard. You got to find guys that may pop up and have a great iron play week. How much risk do you take this week? Because you could start your lineup with Tiger Woods in theory, and everybody could be kind of in the above 6,000 for sure, above probably 7,500 at that point. So where do you draw the line in that?
So it's different every week, of course. Last week was clearly a stars and scrubs type of strategy. And I think Rocket Mortgage was too. This one, to me, it's all about win equity. So I think you could legitimately get, oh my gosh, you could have five guys in your lineup that have like legit win equity in this golf tournament. You're right. Like starting with Tiger or starting, you know, like, I don't know what you could do, but like Rahm, Brooks, and Tiger. Like, I don't know what you'd have left after that. You probably have to dip down to the low sevens, but like you could get a big chunk of win equity from just a few guys in like the $9,000 range. So I feel like that kind of leads me to not having to even go down to like, the $6,000 range.
Rahm, Koepka, Tiger, you would have with your remaining three players an average salary of $7,533 left over.
There you go.
Right. So, I mean, you can go with heavy hitters up top that are not priced like heavy hitters. And I mean, look, Rory and Bryson are very interesting to me, but this is one of the more interesting weeks where we get down into that range. You go with a Webb Simpson as your anchor. You go with a Rahm as your anchor. You can play a Schauffele. Like, these guys are Daniel Berger. They're studs, and you can keep a really well-balanced lineup. So for me, I think at least a couple of my lineups are going to be kind of set up that way, where they're kind of more in the middle, a little safer, a little bit of definite win equity at the top, but less missed cut equity at the bottom. And I think it's something you can really do if you're thoughtful with your lineup.
I agree. Now you've got me messing around with a bunch of different, like, can I get Bryson and JT? Then what do you have to do? Oh, Stewart Cink. No, thanks. You got me tinkering around. Okay. Yeah. I will probably end up in a more balanced approach, but yeah, you know, we'll see. But that is the way I feel like this is leading us at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind a couple risky lines. You got to take risks if you're going to win the whole thing. You say that all the time.
Yeah.
It's just, do you have to go down to the 6K range?
Well, risk is different, right, Greg? Risk might not mean play someone at 6,200. It might mean play, I don't know, Matthew Fitzpatrick that no one else wants to play. That's a different form of risk, right?
It's a great point. Right. Fade Bryson, Rory, DJ. That might be considered a risk.
Yeah, that's risky because those guys probably win the tournament 30% of the time, but like, that's risk to fade. So like, there's different ways to get risk than just playing Stewart Cink.
Yeah. Hey, it's a great point. You made me feel a lot better about my play it in the middle kind of a take for this week.
All right. A reminder. Golf will be back on the airwaves this weekend on CBS. We will have another preview pod coming your way with the whole gang, where we'll do matchups, some outrights, maybe a little prop action sprinkled in there as well. And we will still have daily recaps after every single round. Keep an eye out for that. Greg, thank you for joining me. That was a lot of fun. I'm super stoked for this weekend.
I can't wait. And thank you for doing this with me every week. We have so much fun. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year. This is like, it's like judgment day, right? We're really going to get to see how we did, if our analysis pays off. So I love this day. I love doing it with you. So thank you. Thank you, Rick.
There you go. Judgment day. You can find Greg on Twitter at TheRealGFD. You can find me on Twitter at RickRunGood. This has been the First Cut Podcast. We'll catch you next time.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. Men's National Team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast, and I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the Men's Sunday Performance Jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.